Ezekiel chapter 33, that's page 1036 in this Bible. Prophet Ezekiel chapter 33, in the end of verse 11. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will ye die? And then in the New Testament, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, that's page 1392 in this Bible. And verse 3, so 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 3. But if also our gospel is veiled, it is veiled in those that are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded the thoughts of the unbelieving, so that the radiancy of the glad tidings of the glory of the Christ, who is the image of God, should not shine forth for them. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus, Lord. We're all on a journey, every one of us tonight, all on a journey of life. You're no doubt familiar with the idea of a journey. Set out to go somewhere and you have a destination in view. And normally, if you, in God's mercy, we reach that destination. And perhaps you then stay there a while and maybe return home or make another journey, whatever. We take many journeys in our lifetime here. But you know, the journey of life is different. Because there's one destination for the journey of life. And once you reach that destination, that's it. There's nowhere else to go. Once you reach the destination in the journey of life, that's the end. There's no going back. No returning home, no changing place. The journey of life is a journey to eternity. That's what makes this gospel preaching tonight of such vital importance. We're dealing with eternal realities. Now, I get told I use that expression a lot in the preaching. But you know, that's just the point. In the gospel, we are dealing with the reality of eternity. And you know, everything else fades into insignificance in the light of eternity. As I've said, you reach the end of this journey in life. It's the beginning of eternity. And the vital question tonight for every one of us is, what is the destination of our journey of life? There's only two destinations. One, you know, is the lake of fire, a place prepared for the devil and his angels. Horrifying prospect. The other, you know, is to be with Christ in heaven for all eternity. What a blessed prospect. Tonight, my friend, I want to ask you quite straight, what's the destination of your journey? What road are you on? Are you on the road that leads to destruction? Or are you on the road that leads to life? There's no other place. There's no grey areas, no middle ground. The gospel is as straight as that, you know. And you're called upon tonight to face up to the reality of where you are going. The word here is turn ye. You know, this is an appeal from the heart of God. I love to think of this, you know. I think you just get an impression of the feelings of God in this word here. Turn ye, for why will ye perish? A wonderful word in the gospel, you know, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he sent his only beloved Son, that whosoever believes in him may not perish. May not perish. No, but have life eternal. That's the heart of God to the sinner tonight. That's God's appeal. You know, I get an impression of that in these words here. For why? Why will you perish? You know, there's no need to perish. There's no need to go into eternity as a lost sinner. Why? Because God has made provision. He's made provision that you, my friend, may never have to face that awful prospect. That provision has been made in the precious, finished work of Jesus on Calvary's cross. There my Saviour suffered, you know. Jesus laid down his life on that awful cross at Calvary, that God might have a righteous basis to forgive the sinner, that you and I might have hope. You know, the Bible speaks about those who have no hope. Without Christ, it says, without hope in the world. If tonight you haven't got Jesus, you've no hope. And you're on the road that leads to destruction. Well, tonight, you know, if you're still on that road, my earnest desire is that you might be arrested. That you might be stopped right in your tracks tonight to consider your ways. You know, there's a man in the Old Testament. He was going on a road that was a wrong way. And God spoke to him and he said, the way you're on is for ruin before me. Tonight, my friend, if you're going on without Jesus, the way you're on is for ruin. Eternal ruin. And the urgent appeal in the gospel is that you might turn from that pathway tonight. You might be brought, you know, into the valley of decision. You know, it's as if we're brought to a junction in the road tonight. And there's two roads. And you have to make that decision. You can't just carry on. You've got to stop and think, may that be your portion tonight. If you've never stopped before on the road that you're on, to stop and think where your pathway is going. You know, because God has made a wonderful provision in Jesus, that you know you might have the most wonderful, blessed portion, a hope of eternity in heaven. And it's certain hope, a sure hope, something you can rely on absolutely. There's nothing in this world you can trust in, you know. This world is full of things that are built on sand. You know, the hope of the Christian is a sure hope, a certain hope. It's founded in Jesus. You know, what God has established can never be moved. And the salvation that God has provided in Christ is absolutely certain, absolutely secure. If your anchor is there, nothing can shake it, ever. If you've come to Jesus, put your trust in him, repented of your sins, you know, my friend, you're safe for all eternity. And there's nothing that can change that. May that be the portion of every one of us here tonight. Well, the appeal of God, turn ye, turn ye. May you turn, my friend, if never before. If you're on the road that leads to destruction, may you be stopped in your tracks and turn off that road. That's what repentance is, you know. It's a turning about. And that's what you need to do. You know, to recognize the pathway that you're on and turn from it. Turn your back on that wayward pathway and come and put your trust in Jesus. Turn ye, for why will ye die? Why will ye perish? There's no need to perish tonight. God has made a way of wonderful salvation in the precious work of Jesus. Well, I read this passage in Corinthians. I don't claim there to be any particular link between these scriptures. It's just what was laid on my heart tonight. It says, if our gospel is veiled, it's veiled in those that are lost. Oh, how solemn, you know. Think of that tonight. You're either saved or you're lost. There's no middle ground. You're either a saved person with a destination of heaven, or you're lost tonight. Think of that. What are you, my friend? Can I ask you straight up? Are you a saved person, or are you a lost person tonight? If you're lost at the moment, you know there's still an opportunity for you to be saved. It says, in whom the God of this world has blinded the thoughts of the unbelieving. You know, we have to deal with a dreadful adversary in the gospel. There's a great battle going on. The battle involves your soul. And the great enemy of your soul, the great enemy of God, is the devil. I think you know that he comes to every gospel preaching. Solemn that, isn't it? He wants to snatch away the word. That if you're convicted tonight of your need of a saviour, the enemy would try to make you think, well, it doesn't matter, or put it off, or something like that. Oh, my friend, God would appeal to you tonight. And we would appeal to you, in all sincerity, that you might close with God's offer of salvation, while the moment is now. The God of this world, you know, he's got so many persons in his grasp. As you're going down that pathway of life, you know, he scatters all sorts of things in the way. Pleasures, things that appeal to us, you know, the things we like to do, temptations, vices, persons held in the bondage of drug addiction, alcohol addiction, these things, you know. These are the things the devil used to hold persons, hold them captive. And that's what he's doing tonight. Other things he'll scatter in your pathway. Success, you know, in this world. Perhaps you get on very well and get a high position. Make lots of money, lots of possessions, all these things. They're the things the devil would scatter in the pathway to make it look like an attractive way. And my friend, he'll put them in your way all the way until the gates of hell close behind you. We have to deal with an awful adversary tonight. You know, perhaps you think I'm being very negative, but I can't stress enough how dreadful and how important the issues in the gospel are that we have to face. The God of this world, he's blinded the eyes of the unbelieving. Why? So the radiancy of the glory of the glad tidings, radiancy of the glad tidings of the glory of the Christ should not shine forth. Oh, my friend, you know, the glory of the glad tidings. That's God's answer to man's hopeless condition. And you know, it's the same gospel that's been proclaimed for 2,000 years. God has a wonderful answer to the lost case of mankind. And it's found at the cross of Jesus. The radiancy of the glad tidings. Think of that, you know. You look at the cross of Jesus. And you think of that awful scene. What a moment that was, you know. You think of Jesus hanging there upon that cross. And yet that's the radiancy of the glad tidings. In the cross of Christ, you know, God has a wonderful way whereby the sinner can come into blessing. And yet every claim of God's throne, every claim of his righteousness is wholly upheld in the cross and the finished work of Jesus. You know, you think of that scene. There you see, you know, the righteousness of God. Why? Because when God judged sin upon Jesus, you know, nothing was held back. There was no compromise with sin. No compromise with sins. When God poured out his judgment against sin and sins on the blessed head of Jesus in those 3 hours of darkness, there was no holding back. The righteousness of God, you know. The righteousness of God is seen in the cross of Jesus. And yet we see there too the infinite love of God. Why do we see it? Why? Because the one who was hanging there was the blessed Son of God. God's only beloved Son. Yes, God's Son. Why was he hanging there? He was hanging there to bear the judgment of my sins and yours, my friend. He had no sins of his own to bear. You think of that. He was there for me. He was there for you. Greater love hath no man than that a man should lay down his life for his friends. The greatest demonstration of love in the universe is seen in the cross of Jesus. There Jesus died for me. There Jesus died for you. Think of that, you know, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's what the scripture says. You know, God commends his love to us. And that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were still God's enemies, God put into place this wonderful plan of salvation. The radiancy of the glad tidings of the glory of the Christ. Oh, how wonderful the gospel is, you know. You think of Jesus having come down from the glory. What a movement and grace that was. Think of that one dwelling in unapproachable light. Think of Jesus in stooping down from the glory, you know, coming down into this world. Why? That he might meet the need of the sinner. That he might make the heart of God known. You have to think of the pathway of Jesus, don't you? You think of him walking here as he went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. You know, what a moment that was in the history of this world. Never been a time like it as when Jesus walked this earth. It's a wonderful time. It says they came to him, you know, from all parts. And what does it say? He healed them all. Think of the heart of God being made known in the life of Jesus. Oh, how lovely that pathway was. A pathway of absolute perfection. There was never a man like Jesus. A man wholly approachable. And he's still approachable tonight. Isn't that lovely, you know, in the gospel? He's available and approachable for whosoever will. If you feel your need of him tonight, if you feel your need, Jesus is ready and waiting and able to save. What a saviour he is. Think of him then as he went on to Calvary's cross. What a journey that was. Down from the glory, all the way to Calvary's cross. Think of his sufferings. Oh, how he loved me. Oh, how he loved you, my friend. Think of him taken down from the cross, put in the grave, raised again by the glory of the Father. Oh, what a wonderful glad tidings the gospel is, you know. He went into death that he might defeat its power. Death, you know, that judgment that was held for the terrorizing of man. Jesus has been into death and defeated it completely. Raised from the dead by the glory of the Father. Think of the place Jesus is in now. Having triumphed over the power of death so that you and I might never have to face it. Isn't that wonderful? You know, yes, we have to go through the article of death. But we know a man who's been into death and is alive on the other side. What a saviour. He's there in heaven tonight, you know. He went up to heaven. God received him. It's lovely to think of that. How heaven delighted to receive Jesus as he rose from the dead and then was ascended up into heaven. Heaven delighted to receive the one that had completed the work the Father gave him to do. The radiancy of the glad tidings of the glory of the Christ, may it shine forth for every one of us tonight. Think of the unbelieving that we've read of. Don't be like the unbelieving. May the radiancy of the gospel shine into your heart tonight. The light of God, you know, how wonderful it is. May your eyes be opened to see this glorious Saviour. I was reading, you know, of a story that's really, I suppose, a little bit of an illustration of what we have here. There's a painting done by a great painter. And what he was seeking to illustrate was the awful hold that the enemy has on the hearts of men. Just like this, the God of this world blinding the thoughts of the unbelieving. And what he did in his picture, he sought to... There was a picture of the enemy, the devil, and a young man seated around a chessboard. The prize was that young man's soul. And what this image depicted was a look of glee upon the devil's face. And this man, you look at the chessboard, the man was in checkmate. Looked like there was no way out. He was trapped. Just like the devil does to souls, you know. He traps them. Now one day, grand chess master came upon this image, this picture, and he took it up and he got out a chessboard and he laid out all the pieces just as they were in the picture. And you know, he thought about this and looked at it. And suddenly he discovered, you know, that there was one move that could be made, one move that turned certain defeat into certain victory. So what's the point of that story? Point is, you know, that's just what the enemy's done. He blinds the eyes of the unbelieving. He gets persons in his grasp. But you know, God has intervened. God has intervened. He's, as it were, made the move from heaven that can meet the need of the soul that is captured by the enemy and set him absolutely free. Oh, how wonderful the gospel is, you know. Jesus, you know, in his finished work, gives God the righteous basis to forgive absolutely the repenting sinner. May that be your portion tonight, you know. Repentance towards God, faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. You can be set free, liberated from the power of the enemy to live your life. Not for your own pleasures. Live your life according to God, as he would wish. Until that moment, you know, when we're called into his presence. The end of the journey, you know, isn't far away. It's not far away. What is going to be the end of your journey? I ask you again. Why will you perish? There's no need for any to perish. God has a basis upon which you can be absolutely saved and absolutely secure. May you take it tonight for his name's sake.